Well, then it's open lines for the rest of the night. Earlier than I thought we'd be going to the phones. Disappointed that we have to. But let me clear something up. Because I'm in somewhat of an awkward place here, and I know I'm disappointing many of you, and I may in fact be wrong for ending the conversation, if we want to call it that, where we did, but I will just put all my cards on the table and merely ask for your forgiveness if I am erring in your eyes. But I had a bad feeling about this last week, and I will disclose this much about our process for this show. One of the things that we always ask an incoming guest to do is write out 10 or 20 questions that you think might help you focus your work. You know, a lot of authors, especially somebody who is as whose work is as voluminous as Maurice Cottrell, they could go in so many different directions. And so it's kind of an exercise. It's not intended to be sort of a cheat sheet, but it's a way of for the incoming guest to put themselves in the place of the interviewer and to see how their material might be best focused for the purposes of a radio show. Pretty simple. And this is part of the pre-interview process, and it's all good. And I got my questions, for example, for last night's guest, Catherine Austin Fitz. I got that earlier in the week, and they were questions that showed how her fiscal experience was shaping her worldview, and there was some very specific sort of nuts and boltsy types questions that helped me see exactly where she thought it was going to go. I didn't end up using any of those questions, but she used the answers that she had prepared for the theoretical questions that she had written in our discussion last night on Coast to Coast, and I think it was great. And then I got this from Maurice, and I think what you just heard was probably these different worldviews of ours colliding. I had asked, like anything else, I was looking forward to seeing his questions because his material, he's just got so much stuff, and it's really compelling. But he didn't write out questions. He wrote out a script. He wrote out a script where he spoke at length in paragraphs. He actually gave himself lines. It said Maurice, and then he had two or three paragraphs of things that he was going to say, and then he would write out a line for me. And my line, according to the script, was much like, "Oh, really, Maurice, tell me more." And that was the only role that he saw for a conversation on Coast to Coast. And I was alarmed. And I said, "Can't do that. Not going to do that." I was assured, "Oh no, that was just miscommunication. It's just, but it's not." And I said, "Ah, that's not what we're doing here. Don't worry, it's all going to be good." So I mean, everybody was doing their jobs. Nobody can be mad here. I am experiencing no rancor, and I hope I am not communicating any. But as soon as he went down this road that questions equals failure. That if I'm to have questions, then he has failed. And that differences in our perspectives are not equal. That any deviation from his orthodoxy is simply a reflection of my inferior development to his. What's the point in having a conversation? And you heard him say it. He didn't want to have a conversation. He just wanted to lay it out beginning, middle, to end. And if there were any questions, he had failed. And this is not how the show works, as far as I'm concerned. And I know that there are Maurice Cottrell fans who are probably disappointed that he didn't have more time or wish that he could talk for hours on the air. And that I did just say, "Oh, really? Tell me more." But Coast to Coast is not a Holiday Inn ballroom that can just be rented out and used like an infomercial. It has to be about conversation, and it has to be about mutual exploration, or it's not really a dialogue, and we're not really serving any other purpose other than just turning on the microphones, which is not what it's about. So I say, if questions equaled failure, no questions equaled success. And we'll just leave it there and say that that was the most successful show we've ever had on Coast to Coast on that criteria. We'll go to open lines next. Where are you going to take us? My name's Ian Punnett. Again, I hope that I can be forgiven for that if you feel that I have done our guest an injustice, but it seems like the best way to go along for the night. In fact, I also want to offer out a special caller line tonight on a topic we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I kept thinking about it, kept it in my back pocket. I'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes. First, let's go to open lines on Coast to Coast AM, and JC is standing by. JC?
Ian, I was going to call tonight to harangue and say what a horrible program you were having with this flower-worshipping weirdo, but you have made me so proud. You've taken your step into a bigger place tonight. That you kicked him off the program, and that's God's will working on you. Now, Ian, if you would only turn your back on that papal pretender, the Pope, who is controlling your strings, and come forward to the new revelation and join us, you're very, very, very close now,
wait,
Ian.
Wait. Remember... Wait, JC, remember, I'm Episcopalian.
You're right.
I'm Episcopalian. I'm not Catholic.
What's the difference? They're both false worshipers of false gods and a false doctrine of deception and deceivers. They're not part of the new revelation and the way that God truly wants you to live, sir. But you're getting closer, Ian. And if you just renounce Art Bell and George Norrie tonight, right now, I think you're standing on the edge. Renounce them. Cast them down.
You know,
step on you devils.
If I don't renounce George and Art, will you be disappointed in me?
Absolutely. I'll call you a flea-bitten mongrel and send you to the boiling pits of sewage just to ride along with him.
I think I'm in a good place. If I've disappointed everybody, then I don't know what my life would be.
Ian, just send an email to boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com and we'll work on you further. We're going to get you in the Army. We're going to get you in there. We'll make you a 5-star private. How about that?
Boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com.
Boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com. That's my email address. And you can join up with the Army and all of your listeners out there that you've helped bring along tonight. You've turned your back on the devil. Keep turning, Ian. Join me in my fight.
It's surprising to me that boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo wasn't already taken. That you were able to get that. I think I would have thought that would have already been a popular address and would have already been taken.
Well, God cleared the way for me. Now listen, and all the other thing that's not being reported in the media is the Soviet attack on Georgia, the state of Georgia. In
right.
America, they fired that missile into Georgia. It didn't explode because God didn't allow it to explode.
That would be
the Russians have attacked America.
No, that was the state of Georgia. That would be in the former Soviet Union, the country of Georgia.
Part of the Soviet Union. They'd like to make it part of the Soviet Union. They'd like to make the entire United States part of the Soviet Union. That's the point of firing a whole missile. I believe me, I'm bringing this news straight from God, and no one's reporting this. Why aren't we at war? Why aren't we firing our nuclear missiles at them?
Yeah, well, fortunately, then this is why you need to line up your armies at boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo. And thank you so much,
yes.
JC, for jumping in here and giving that important news flash about Georgia.
Keep turning away from the devil.
I will do that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you getting us started on Open Lines, Wild Card Line. Rick is in New Orleans on Coast to Coast AM. Rick?
Yeah, and it's so good to talk to you. This is Ross Mitchell. It's so good to hear JC. I'm so honored to be able to follow him on.
Do you know that JC and Ross are the same person? Do you know that? You can't tell. That's how good Ross is with that voice. That it sounds like
the Herculanean. The Herculanean.com.
Yeah. Where are you going to take us, Rick?
Let me just say this. George Norrie came up with the same problem apparently the other night with a guy talking about the powers of Tesla. Same problem you came up with tonight when I was listening to that show.
Those that want to just lecture, you mean?
Yeah, I just kind of went off and absolutely went nowhere with a show. And you, it's not you guys' fault. I mean, you guys bring these people on, and what can you do with them? I mean, you know, you hope you get a guy that's going to come on there and give you some good information about Atlantis and and God and whatnot. And if I could have asked your guest a question, then I guess would have been that, you know, if he apparently believes in God, if somebody, if a God started the Big Bang and you go from there to just chaos, then you have to have the input of God to keep everything. Physics, everything goes to chaos. Everything goes to destruction. Everything goes back to chaos. And you have to have an input of a God. And that's the only thing that I could gather from what he was saying. And well, that's my kind of a personal.
He had his strong viewpoint that everything that was in the physical world was of the devil, was of Satan. So I don't even know that he would look at creation in the same context. He would say that, according to what he said, if I understood him correctly, and I didn't want to fail by asking him a question, that the physical world is evil. And that does conflict with what other people think of in other world religions, not just Christianity, that it's good. It's good to be here. It's good to have this world. And, you know, that may be a fundamental difference between us. Rick, thank you so much for that thought. East of the Rockies, Steve is in West Palm Beach, FLA, on Coast to Coast AM. Steve?
Yeah, calling or listening on WJNO in West Palm Beach. I'm actually glad that you terminated him, because I've noticed between you and George Norrie, when these guests go on and on and on with no room for dialogue, for us, the listeners, it gets boring. And I'm here trying to listen, wondering, where is he coming from? What is this stuff? What he's talking about? What is this material? I end up switching stations or turning it off because I find it boring. And like you, I'm glad that you respect the need for dialogue, which there wasn't much of with your guest.
Not much of a promise of it. You know, I don't know whether it'll end up being the right thing to have done, but under the circumstances, it seemed like the only play that I could make. So I appreciate your endorsement. I know that too, that I think you compare like that with a guest from last night who was also very knowledgeable, but not knowledgeable to the point where they felt like no other person could have anything relevant to say to them. And I think that that's not what the spirit of the show is about. It's not about coming up with the one mutually exclusive truth that allows no other person to participate. So thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. Let's find out where we will be going with this. Again, I want to give out the international line in just a second, because there's a special dedication I want to make to that line, and I will. But west of the Rockies, Sherry is in Oregon on Coast to Coast AM. Sherry, it's open lines. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I just wanted to make a suggestion as to a song that you might like to look at for your show.
Sure, what's that?
The Watchman by Gordon Lightfoot. It's a very, very, very powerful song.
Oh, good.
And it has one lyric in it that goes, "The Watchman's out kicking the bones about."
Oh,
and
I like that.
It's not a macabre song, but it has a kind of a melancholy, contemplative, and mysterious quality to it.
Well, I'm big on Lightfoot, so yeah. I'm all right with that. And there's somebody else that suggested there's one from Tom Petty too. So I'll take a look at both of those. And thank you, Sherry. First time caller line on Coast to Coast AM. Do we still have somebody there? I'm sorry. Who's on the first time caller line?
I'm Paul.
Paul. Hey, Paul. Go ahead.
How are you doing today?
I've had better nights. I had a great night last night.
Well, I just want to say a few things really quickly. First and foremost, you're so professional and so kind. It's a rarity in life. So I understand, as a listener, it's a different point of view than a host. And you, what you just did is so professional and so honorable. And I just want to say to Mr. Maurice there that he left out one major thing, I think, in terms of history, in terms of my opinion, that I've studied throughout my whole life, is the Assyrians in the Middle East in terms of the sun, the sky, the astronomy, so to speak. And he left that out, which is a major part. He gave a lot of credit to the Greeks and the Romans, which got that from the Assyrians. But having said that, don't feel bad.
What
he did tonight was just amazing, and I respect that because you never know who you're going to speak to. You never know what's going to happen and how you play through it, so to speak. It's a testament to the station and the people that work for Coast to Coast, and God bless, and don't feel bad.
Well, thank you, Paul. I will take that. I don't know that I'll be rushing home to look at my email, but thank you. And I also want to apologize to several of his fans who I'm sure had wanted to hear more. So, Annabella, my apologies, and to, I believe it was Dave in Kansas. Wish we could have done more with that. All right, well, a couple other wildcard lines, and then I'll tell you what I want to do with the international line, make it a special dedicated line tonight. But first, wildcard line, it's Jim in Memphis on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Jim?
Hey, Ian. How you doing, man?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Well, first off, thanks for standing up to JC. You always make my night whenever he gets on the line.
He's great. Cracks me up. Totally cracks me up.
Oh yeah, me too.
I'd like to find the corner where he usually stands. What stoplight? What intersection does he usually stand when he's screaming at passing cars? I want to hear him, you know, like live somewhere, you know, in concert.
I still want to see him and Oscar on the air at the same time. That's my dream.
That'd be good.
I have a feeling I have a friend who's a psychic vampire.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because every time I talk to him, I just feel drained and down. He seems like he's negative on everything in life.
Do you think he's aware that he is a psychic vampire? These are people who
really
survive only by taking the energy of others. You don't think he is?
No, I don't think he is. It's just he keeps on saying, no one wants to talk to me anymore, and I just want to tell him, well, it's because you're so depressing all the time. And
why don't you tell him that?
I want to, but he's like my best friend, known him for 15 years.
Wait. He's your best friend, and you're not telling him that this huge, you know, pit exists between the two of you?
Right. I really need to. It's like,
all right.
He's even down on the fact that, you know, I've written a novel and I finally found a publisher, and he was even down on that. And it's like, dude, what can make you happy?
Right. Well, first, mazel tov on the novel. That's totally cool. But honestly, you're not being his best friend if you're holding back that much from him. And
you're
if
right.
you really are friends, then he will survive the truth that he's a bummer. And the reason why nobody wants to hang with him but you is because he's a drag. And he's got to snap out of that cycle of self-pity or trying to make other people feel bad about themselves in order that he can feel good about him. You know, there are certain people, I think there's a way to look at this. I mean, psychic vampires is that one expression. But Jim, think of it this way. There are certain people in this world, I believe, who are mammals and reptiles. And I don't mean this in the reptilian sense that we might ordinarily mean on the show. But I mean, some people can regulate their own body temperature when the atmosphere changes around them. And other people depend on the atmosphere to regulate them. And so it's kind of a growth process. And he might have grown up in an environment where, you know, it has to be just right in order for him to fit in like a reptile. And that's where you can help him, you know, make the jump into a mammalian state. All right. The phone number, the international line, is 800-893-0903. Got an email about a week ago. I read it on the air. It was from a guy who said, I'd love to hear a night of open line calls with a special line dedicated to bizarre experiences that happened to veterans in Vietnam. We'll pick that up next. Give it a call if that's you on Coast to Coast AM. Watchman on duty. Again, I want to stress that international line. You just heard Ross Mitchell give it, but let me amplify it. 1-800-893-0903. What's the point? Well, what we want is we'd love to hear from people who had a bizarre experience in Vietnam. And if that's you, use the international line. It's a special dedicated line tonight. 1-800-893-0903. It was an email suggestion from somebody who had had one themselves. I read a little bit about it when I was doing email a couple of weeks ago, but I've been thinking about it ever since. So bizarre experiences while you're out in country. 1-800-893-0903, and the rest of Open Lines next. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Never looked more forward to Open Lines than I am right now. Let's find Kenny, Wildcard Line, FLA, on Coast to Coast AM. Kenny in Florida, where are you going to take us?
Ian, I'm disappointed the way that you handled that. I mean, I don't think you should have taken it so personally. I mean, this man is coming from years and years of experience. He's an encyclopedia of knowledge.
Let me stop you right here. It is not personal. So, I mean, I'm not taking it personally. And I hope we don't. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that's the way you hear it. But what this is a radio show that's a dialogue. And we're just not going to change the format because one person says, I don't want you to ask me questions. Or once I tell you this, this is all you need to know. I mean, it wasn't what I bargained for when I said, yeah, be great guest. He's got so many interesting things. But that's just not the way we're going to go about it. I mean, I hope that's okay with you. I don't know what more you want other. I don't know what more you want other than just and I'm sorry. I mean, it's probably my limitation.
There's a lot of people out there who don't have the money to buy his books that would have loved to see in completion his cosmology. Like for example, for myself. See,
but that's not what the show's about. We're not. We don't do that. We don't just rent out the show.
You have an audience, Ian, that gives you ratings and wants to hear what this man wants to say.
I totally get that, and if he could do it in the way that you and I are doing it right now, he'd still be on.
Probably, but you see,
there you go.
He's not being arrogant. He's just being hard on himself, and he comes from a lot of years of experience, and he wants to he's a perfectionist. That's what he's coming from. You're seeing it as arrogance.
I never said arrogance to you. What I can tell you is, and I know you'll continue to be disappointed. You'll continue not to accept my apology for it. But all I can tell you is this is not a lecture show where people come on and they're handed the microphone for 3 hours. It just doesn't work like that. And if that's what you feel he deserves, I get that. And that's completely your right to feel that way. But that doesn't change the fact that this show has never been that. And it shouldn't start now just so you don't have to go out and buy his book. Fair enough?
That's the way that it sounds, but you see, let me tell something. A friend of mine, that he was in the Theosophical Society, he handed me this book like 20 years ago called The Evolution of Light by Rodney Collins. And it's amazing how much of what he was saying was written in that book that is almost like 40 years old. And I didn't ever get to understand the book. It gave me a big headache. I had to return it. And now for the first time, I understood what the book said because of what he said in the short 10 minutes that you gave him. So there's people like me out there that are like angels, for example, to give a scientific explanation to astrology, and now we're never going to know, Ian.
Wait. Now, don't blame me that you will never know that. In fact, I tell you what, Kenny, I'll do you a favor. If you send me an email with your address, I will send you $20, and you can buy the book, and I promise you I will do that. If you can't afford his book, I will send you the $20, and you can buy it. And that way you can never say that I kept you from knowing the information that was in that book. Fair enough?
Well, thank you very much.
You get $20 and an apology. There you go.
You're making me look bad now. I'm trying to speak.
No. I didn't make you look anything.
Out there who probably are in the thousands. I'm their voice right now because I didn't get through on the line.
Okay, well, you are their voice, and you got $20, and you get an apology. I hope that enlightenment doesn't mean that when we feel like it, we can take over somebody else's, for example, radio show and just say, I'm here because I'm more enlightened than you and I get to do it my way. If that's enlightenment, then I'll choose staying in dialogue in the dark. Fair enough?
Fair enough, Ian.
All right. Wildcard Line, Robin is in Boulder on Coast to Coast AM. I hope we're not going to spend the rest of the show vetting that decision. But
well,
Robin,
don't ask me any questions now.
Yeah, really.
Just kidding. I know. I wanted to say, and oh, I feel funny. I feel like I should call you like father or something.
Oh, don't, please.
But anyway, I wanted to say first of all that that intro that lady sent you. Wow, I think that's really great.
Wasn't it good?
See the intro.
Yeah, I thought that was really good, too. I'll use that next week.
And that she was in an alpha state or something. I better get myself into an alpha state. That was great. And I think Watchmen, yeah, that's better than Night Watchmen.
Okay, we'll take that. Now, where are you going to take us?
Oh, not very far. I'm just, I wanted to say then that I don't blame you for restoring our ordinary format because, you know, we can all, I mean, maybe he could go on tour, you know, we could go to his lecture or whatever, and we can even get his books out of the library and stuff. And I would look at his book because I thought his cosmology was beautifully intricate.
I think it is, too. I was looking forward to an intricate conversation about it, too.
Well, unfortunately, you didn't get it, but you didn't get that. But no, I don't blame you because, you know, you just can't change the whole show's format for a guy that just demands it or something, you know.
Well, Robin, thank you for those kind words, and I'll move along, and we'll see whether or not we can't also find whether somebody out there is going to join us on our challenge on our international line. We're using it as a special dedicated line for bizarre experiences when you were in Vietnam. 1-800-893-0903. But first, on the wildcard line, Cindy is in Georgia on Coast to Coast AM. Cindy?
Hello, sir. Pleasure to speak with you. I just have to compliment you on your tact with every guest and the way that you dismissed the speaker. You do it with such flair and such tact. I wish I had that.
Well, I wish everybody thought it was that, too.
You're great. I've been just rolling. I've been laughing so hard, and it's just it's great to laugh. I'm from Georgia, by the way.
Yeah, my old haunts.
Atlanta.
Love Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, well, it's changed a lot, sir. But at any rate, I had several questions. Nice young lady that, you know, that had me on hold, the hurricane. And it's unrelated. I called on the wild card line. Sir, I believe that it's being manipulated towards Mexico, and wanted to know. And I had we're you know messing with the weather, and what are the repercussions? The young lady that answered the phone told me to jot that down.
Right.
Also, I love your bumper music.
Good. Well, let's talk about the.
And number three, you had a caller right before your last break. He was talking about his rude friend, and you gave him very good advice. But I just wanted to comment that I'm seeing it everywhere. Pete and I had a conversation with a friend of mine today. People are just changing. People are rude, and they're self-absorbed. It's almost like walking around in a Twilight Zone episode or the Night of the Living Dead. I don't know if anyone else has comments about noticing a difference in attitude, because I grew up in the South, and it's not the South anymore. I will hang up before I ramble on.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cindy. I will say, having lived in Atlanta for a long time, of course, Atlanta has changed mostly because of all the Yankees. So, you know, I mean, only I think the last report I heard said 17% of the people from it. Atlanta, 17% of the people that live in Atlanta are from Atlanta. And so that right there is going to change the composition, the feel, the culture of the city, as it's strongly influenced, especially by Northeasterners who come and live there, or people that migrate there from other parts of the country. It's a great city. I don't know that I felt that way when you were there, but again, maybe that's changing too, and we'll see whether somebody else takes up your challenge. Wildcard line, John is on San Luis Obispo on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Boy, yeah, this is a double whammy. I wanted to talk about getting woke up last week by Oscar yelling at you on the radio. Or was it a fake Oscar?
Not sure.
Do you remember that last week?
I tried. I don't think I remember Oscar yelling at me, but I hope you just heard JC a few minutes ago.
Oh yeah, it was JC. But last week you had Oscar, and I used to play some of the games like Dungeons and Dragons, and he kept repeating something about Asmodeus, Satan, going to take you to hell. Well, the problem with his logic there was an ancient like Aleister Crowley and some of Anton LaFey's writing stuff was Asmodeus was the one who overthrew Satan in hell. So I don't know where he was coming up with that trash, but I know what you did with the guest is awesome. I'm speaking for the tens of thousands. We didn't want to hear a monologue of one guy's episode because I have an MBA, so I could sit there and lecture you. But I had a question about... we have a guest who comes on Coast to Coast who's an expert in shadow people, and George knows her. We get her once probably every 15 or 16 months, and about, 3 weeks ago, I was in my room, and I had two of my dogs that were barking like nuts, and I could see... I caught the shadow person, and I think they could catch that. And I was wondering if animals do have that ability to catch these, what do you call it, extra-dimensional creatures or whatever they are?
Well, I often wonder that for my dogs when I walk them in a nearby park, and I'm looking at the shadows of the streetlights playing off of the apple trees that line the park, and I can't see anything, but of course they can. Now, how deep into that park they can see and what they're really looking at, I don't know, but it always seems like I'm looking exactly where they're looking and I don't see it. So, who knows what they see through their, either through their eyes or maybe even through their nose that they're searching for with their eyes. And I don't know, maybe just feeling the presence of something. Let me know if it happens again and be ready, because I think that guest is coming up, or at least somebody on Shadow People will be coming up, I'm sure, this fall. And thank you, John, for that. We'll go to Rich east of the Rockies in Philly on Coast to Coast AM. Rich?
Hey, this is Rich Baker, big Rich Baker, coming to you from Philly. How's it going, Ian?
I'm terrific. Go ahead. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I have a comment and a question. First, I think what you did to your guest was great. You know, I think you might have confused the Night Watchman. I think you might have thought it meant that you just watched people take over your show, but okay. I don't think that's right.
Well, I hope. I would look forward to an opportunity sometime to have a conversation with him. But good. Now, where are you going to take us?
Well, I think everyone will agree with me as they waited all summer long for George to do his little Ouija board experiment. He hyped it up. I stayed up. I wasted 2 hours of my night every night waiting for it. And then what's he do on the final night? Backs out. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I heard more about it than I heard it, because I had not been on that night, and I was really looking forward to it too. And I was going to go back and I was going to listen to it. And then I got some emails that said that he didn't actually go through with it. I don't know what was going through his mind, and he and I haven't had a conversation off the air about it. But I will tell you what my email was like, and it was with people who were furious that he was going to do it. I mean, I was getting CC'd emails to George from people saying, I can't believe George is going to go through with this. He's going to bring about, you know, evil into the world. This is much bigger than just a radio show. And I don't know whether that played a part in his decision ultimately not to do it. But I know that you're not the only one who is disappointed. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up coming back. What were you hoping to get out of it? What were you hoping to hear? Since it's a Ouija board on the radio, what were you hoping to get out of that?
Well, I don't really have any experience with the Ouija board, so I just was kind of wanting to see what would happen, you know. And, you know, George Norrie being the big shot that he is, I just thought maybe something incredible will happen. But I do have a proposition for you. I think this is what could take Ian Punnett to the next level. This, Ian Punnett, Ouija board.
Well, I it's been a while since I've ever been around a Ouija board, and I'll give it some thought, though, Rich, and I thank you for your endorsement. We'll go west of the Rockies. Jason is in San Diego on Coast to Coast AM. And, Jason, I've gotten word that we have our first person who has a Vietnam experience to share coming up in just a second. I hope Sam will hang on for that. But Jason, where are you going to take us?
I want to take us to UFOs. And I want to argue by Occam's razor that the government is not covering up evidence of extraterrestrial spacecraft. They're covering up evidence of a terrestrial spacecraft program. I believe that the United States, we have our secret, black space program. And one of the reasons that I think that this is secret is that it involves nuclear power. And if you take a look at even the earliest sightings of UFOs, in fact, the Arnold case, when his plane came down, they actually ran a Geiger counter over it. And at that time in the 40s, the United States was experimenting with nuclear-powered ramjets. And the craft that he saw was going about 1,500 miles an hour. And that is right in line with the speeds that we were achieving in the late 1940s with ramjets. And I think that we went on to develop nuclear aircraft, specifically I believe that the U-2 and also the SR-71 have nuclear engines. There is a nuclear variant to both of those. And the reason why...
I didn't know about that. I'm not familiar enough with the... I knew that the early nuclear engines, though, were so clunky and so huge. I can't believe that they could have compressed one, been able to get one small enough to get into, a high-altitude spy plane like that.
Oh, they definitely did get them down to that size. And I think that...
But by the 1940s?
The energy-to-weight ratio with nuclear is a lot greater than with chemical. And the beauty of it is that if you have a nuclear-powered spacecraft, is that you can put a lot larger payloads into space. And one of the things that we've been working on with nuclear is what's called the nuclear light bulb, which is a fission reactor which is contained by a fused silica that has a tube around it. It's sort of like the same way that we have cryogenically cooled engines. Right. Well, anyways, this technology can be used in order to make a nuclear pumped laser. So I think that what we're doing is we're hiding this technology because we're afraid that if it gets out, number one, the energy industry would be cooked because, if energy...
Wait, stop. What do you mean gets out? If you know about it, isn't it out?
No. What I'm talking about, if it gets to the point where... It's widely known. I think that there's a lot of...
Wait. If we're talking about it on the radio, isn't it widely known?
No, it's not widely known.
So this is a secret.
In this country, they're not widely known. Like, how many people know that Jesse Jackson helped kill Martin Luther King, for instance? But that's a little bit off the subject. But, there's a lot of national secrets that we have here. I mean, if you just...
Okay.
But definitely, though, if you take a look at the nuclear spacecraft, I think that there was a document that came out of Los Alamos called the Aspen, and this was published in 1960 by R.W. Bussard. Okay. That's Bussard.
Well, I'm out of time. I'm sorry because I'm cut over to the top of the hour, but I appreciate the tip on that, and I will have to add. I don't know that it's popularly accepted that Jesse Jackson helped kill Martin Luther King. So I'll leave that there for now too, and I will say that Sam, I hope that you can hang on because I'd like to get you back first in the next hour. Sam, holding on for our special dedicated line to Vietnam veterans with bizarre experiences out in the field that they want to share tonight on Coast to Coast AM next.